Hello, good evening, and welcome back to the Art of Living radio show with me, Victoria Mary Clark. Today I'm talking to a dance historian who's also an artist in other ways. Deirdre Mulrooney, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello, Victoria. Thanks for having me on your show. I'm delighted to be here today.
So nice to have you. So you're a dance historian, and I know that you made a documentary about modern dance in Dublin in 1940s. A lot of people don't really know about that particular scene. I mean, it's not something we would really picture, is it? We kind of imagine people doing river dance.
Yes, exactly. Totally. And I mean, this was like holistic dance of expression, which came here from
Germany. The woman with the scarf. Isadora Duncan.
Yes, absolutely.
The woman with the scarf.
It was,
famous only for
her scarf. Isadora Duncan died by strangulation from her lovely scarf in a convertible car in
the
south
of France.
Why do
people still wear scarves in convertibles? I've often wondered that.
Hopefully they've learned their lesson. Yes, but this woman, a very interesting woman called Erina Brady, she came here in 1939 and she
started the war.
Yes, exactly. Her father was Irish. Her mother was German. Mm-hmm. But as it transpired from my research, it turns out that her father had been a priest.
Her father had been a priest?
Yes. He was ordained in Maynooth. And he was the dean and bursar of St. Patrick's Boys' School in Cavan. And he was obviously a very bright man from a very prominent family in Cavan, the Bradys. They owned a hotel and, mm-hmm. Like the mayor of Cavan and all this. And he went to America on a fundraising trip for the school. And he was about 40. And there he met a lovely young German woman who he subsequently eloped with to Germany, was disowned by his family.
Yeah.
And then the daughter, he named her Erina. So right. He was obviously missing home.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Very nationalistic.
Yeah.
And she grew up to be a modern dancer. And she actually saw Isadora Duncan dancing.
Would she have been a contemporary of Lucia Joyce?
She was a bit older than Lucia Joyce because she was born in 1891.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, her father was born in 1848, so the year of the famine. Mm-hmm. But she saw Isadora Duncan dancing as a young girl, and that inspired her to become a modern dancer. And obviously her parents must have been very open-minded because they encouraged her.
Obviously they were, yeah.
Yeah, but actually it's interesting that her father always remained extremely religious and served at mass and, was involved in the evolution of Ireland as a nation, in Paris and stuff like that. So then she trained with Mary Wigman, who was the real inventor of Ausdruckstanz, which means dance of expression in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And that's then what she brought to Ireland in 1939.
And what kind of people were into that?
Well, very interesting. I mean, they were fairly well off because they could afford to pay the fees.
Were they expensive?
I suppose relatively expensive. Not everyone could afford this. Mm. But interestingly, the classes were ecumenical. So there were Catholics from the Sacred Heart School and Protestants.
And Jews?
Probably. Mm. Yeah, mm. Yeah. So, it was very enlightened and open-minded. And she also, in their milieu, was the White Stag artists who were here during the war. They were like these bohemian modernist painters where Patrick Scott start. Mm. Patrick Scott knew Erina Brady.
And
he went along to her studio and he went to her performances. But I suppose my thing is that I feel that the body has been repressed in Irish cultural history.
Well, we only need to look at Riverdance to see.
Yeah, exactly. Look at the way that they're but actually Riverdance is quite good compared to the competition dancing.
Yeah.
Where they had to have, they actually used to sew their arms on to the bodice of the costumes, you know. I mean, you know, we know all about our fantastic writers, but you know, the dance artists have been completely forgotten.
We don't really have a Nureyev or a Diaghilev.
Well, believe it or not, we do.
We do.
Yes.
Oh.
Because, okay, we're in the year of where everyone is celebrating the 150th birthday of W.B. Yeats.
We are indeed.
And we're, you know, celebrating his poetry, his writing. But did you know he had an amazing vision for the body?
Nope, I did not.
You see,
I've never seen a picture of him without loads of clothes on.
I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't exactly, I don't know if he was a great dancer himself, but he really valued dance. And he started the Abbey Theatre School of Ballet and the Abbey Theatre Ballets with Ninette de Valois.
Oh, yeah.
And now, do you know where Ninette de Valois came from?
You're going to tell me. The coon.
Well, her real name was Idra Stannis, and she came from Blessington in County Wicklow.
Gosh.
And so she grew up in Ireland. Her first dance was a little Irish jig, and she really identified as being Irish, right? But she went off and she was in the Ballet Russe. And then when Yeats discovered her, he couldn't believe this. He discovered her in Cambridge Theatre with her cousin Terence Gray, and he invited her to come and create a Ballet Russe for Ireland, the Abbey Theatre Ballets. And he wrote his plays for dancers.
Oh, yeah, he wrote plays for dancers. I always forget.
And also in his poetry, if you look at his poetry, the figure of the dancer is always appearing, coming up as this ideal figure. But also, incidentally, about W.B. Yeats, which, you know, I find quite interesting, that he himself was in a club or a society in London called the World League for Sexual Reform.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, it's great stuff. They never told us this when we were doing our leaving certificate. And when he was in his late 60s...
And what did they do, the World League for Sexual Reform? What did they do?
Well, I suppose they just tried to rethink the morals. I don't know, maybe they had sex. I don't know. So you can imagine that he was very much against the grain of De Valera's Ireland at the time.
Yeah.
Even though he was a senator.
Yes.
Right? So what I think was that, like, W.B. Yeats had this vision for Ireland, like, of this sort of sexual revolution, which unfortunately never transpired, right? And he himself had, he went to a notorious sexologist called Havelock Ellis.
I've heard of Havelock Ellis.
Yeah. He was in the World League for Sexual Reform. Mm. And he had a rejuvenating vasectomy.
What's a rejuvenating vasectomy?
Well, it was to increase his sex drive.
By cutting it off?
Well, no. I don't understand all the exact medical...
I think you should research all
and illustrate with diagrams. Yeah.
I need to know what the World League actually
is. Well, I would like to encourage everybody to, you know, start finding out about this, because W.B. Yeats was a really, really... he's much more interesting than we realized.
And you know what? A documentary about the World League for Sexual Reform would probably sell in cinemas.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I noticed, I was in Belgrade where I gave a talk about W.B. Yeats at the university.
Did you mention this time?
And the minute that I mentioned this, you can suddenly feel the energy in the room rising. Everyone was suddenly, like, perked up.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah, it is. So, but what you have to take into consideration is that we had Ninette de Valois here, right, in Dublin, creating this Ballet Russe at our Abbey Theatre before she went on to found the British Royal Ballet.
Wow.
She is the founder of the British Royal Ballet.
Yeah.
An Irish woman.
Gosh.
But we don't recognize this. We don't celebrate it.
No.
Nobody's really.
Is there a statue of her? Mentioned. A street named after her?
No. And actually her grandniece, Louise Verity, is trying really hard to get a statue of Nina de Valois. She was even going to pay for it. But she wanted to be in some national institution. And she's having a hard time. So, you know, I mean, like, I think dance is like, in essence, it's like a celebration of the body.
Yes.
You know.
And it's a celebration of everything.
Yes.
You can dance when you're sad. You can dance when you're happy. You can dance when you're, you know, there's a dance for every mood, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a kind of, it's also like an embodied physical intelligence as well. That we need to celebrate more in this country.
And in your documentary, what actually, you traced the girls, was it just girls who'd done the dance?
In the 1940s. Yeah, actually, it's amazing. I found a film, but being a dance historian, I was aware of Erina Brady.
Mm.
But then I found a film in the film archive from 1943 called Dance School.
Yeah.
And it was Erina Brady teaching these little tiny tots modern dance in her studio.
And when you say tiny tots, were they like 5 years old?
Kind of four to seven, maybe. And then they also gave an outdoor performance. And we discovered that this was actually in, believe it or not, the poet laureate John Betjeman's garden in Collinstown House in Clondalkin. So it was all like poets, artists, dancers, composers. Like, it was an amazing bohemian scene.
Yeah.
You know, in Dublin. But then I set about trying to figure out who were these little girls in the film. And I found about six of them initially, three sisters, one of whom, Barbara Sweetman Fitzgerald, has a CBE in Peace and Reconciliation in Northern Ireland. They're all kind of very enlightened, open-minded, intelligent women, you know, artists, you know, great people in the community. So that was who I found those little tiny tots from 1943 today, and they're all now in their late 70s.
Are they all alive?
Yeah, luckily. So that was amazing. But like, but this cultural chapter has been completely overlooked in Irish cultural history. So, you know, I feel it's pretty important to share this this news, you know, and it's also very cool, I have to say.
It is very cool.
You know?
Yeah.
So I made a documentary. One was on RTE called 1943, A Dance Odyssey, about the women who were in that 1943 film. And they were delightful. I mean, that's why people really connected with them. And they were like, oh, this is great. This is Ireland. You know, that I can connect with.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Because we know how much the body has been repressed in Ireland from all the terrible reports, the Ferns report and all this. So it's great to have something positive and uplifting to connect with that's Irish to do with the body, right? And then I did another documentary for T.G. Cahir, where we did recreations, and the wonderful actress Alwyn Fowere played Erina Brady, and we had a choreographer and a composer, Conor Lenehan, and actually we had one of the last interviews with the lovely Patrick Scott, who was delighted to remember those days in the 1940s when he was a 19-year-old up from the country going to modern dance shows.
Suppose when you think about it, like the Ginger Man, J.P. Donlevy was in Dublin at that time working on the Ginger Man.
Yes.
So it must, and he, according to him, he had a very lively time. There didn't seem to be any inhibitions at all in his circles.
Yes.
Sexually.
Yes.
You know? So yes. Maybe we're not really seeing what.
Well, you see, J.P. Dunleavy was a writer, and obviously he was great.
He was mainly an artist at the time.
Him and Brendan Behan and Patrick Kavanagh. Let's think about this: male writers.
Yeah.
Okay, we all know about them, right? They've gone down in history. I mean, I'm not saying they're great. They went to the Catacombs mm-hmm. nightclub.
Yeah.
On Fitzwilliam Street, which was this place of ill repute. And, you know, they're great writers, but this is a thing, we only know about the writers.
Yeah.
We didn't know about
dancers.
Erina Brady.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so.
No, I'm just trying to say that maybe Dublin was less repressed than we might think. Maybe there was actually a really.
Yeah, I think so.
A free thinking, open minded, lively.
Yeah. I agree. And then it kind of went into the dark ages a little bit in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, so it's nice to rediscover this stuff and excavate it and bring it out into the light, you know. That's all about
so that's that. The body. And then you also did one about Yugoslavia, which you're working on now.
Yes. Well, this is coming up. We're going to be screening this in the Photo Ireland Festival in July, so next month.
Maybe we'll just take a quick music break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and talk about
fantastic
Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
Welcome back to The Art of Living, and today I'm talking to Deirdre Mulrooney, who's a documentary filmmaker, artist, dance historian, many other things. And you, Deirdre, are making, or you've just finished making, a documentary about Yugoslavia.
Yes, this was a very fascinating project. I really learned a lot. I love learning new things. And this was through our friend, the photographer, Dragana Jurasic. Dragana Jurasic, who's from former Yugoslavia. Mm. And actually, there are many people here in Ireland from former Yugoslavia. And she's been here like over 15 years, I think. And like many of the people who came here from former Yugoslavia, you know, around that time, she lived through the war.
Mm.
Her house had been burnt down. Came here. She was a psychologist when she came. She became a photographer. And the documentary that I made with Dragana, which is showing in Photo Ireland Festival in July in the Origin Gallery.
Okay, so when? What date exactly?
Well, we're going to show it between July 14th and 17th.
Okay.
Which is the 20th anniversary of the tragic massacre at Srebrenica.
Mm-hmm.
So to mark that, and the documentary itself is a very personal documentary about Dragana's own journey, and also, interestingly, the journey of an Anglo-Irish writer in the 1930s called Rebecca West.
She's a well-known writer.
She's a very well-known writer. She's written, you know, she wrote many, many novels, and she was also a brilliant journalist. She was one of the first suffragettes. She, at the age of 20, and this kind of overshadowed her career a little bit, at the age of 20, she became a single mother to H.G. Wells' son.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. So very interesting character and a feminist and, you know, but she's a wonderful writer. And this particular tome called Black Lamb and Grey Falcon,
mm-hmm.
which is a travelogue of former Yugoslavia, It's 1,100 pages.
Is it still available to buy?
Yes, it is. Here it is. Look, you can...
Wow, looks good.
Yes, it's quite a substantial read.
Yeah.
And it was published in 1941.
Mm-hmm.
But when the wars happened in Yugoslavia in the early 90s, all the war journalists turned to this book, to Rebecca West's book, to understand who was who and what was what.
The background.
Yes, yeah. Of each individual place and set of people, because it's very notoriously mind-boggling.
Yes.
The Balkans.
Yes.
Right? So so if we imagine then Dragana, this psychologist, photographer, comes to Ireland, is traumatized after the war, and then she finds the book by Rebecca West about her former homeland.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist anymore.
That's true. Yeah, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. So she decided that she would, for her exhibition, follow in Rebecca West's footsteps, as in the book.
Right. That must have taken a while.
Yeah. I think she did several trips over there and went to the exact same places that Rebecca West wrote about. And spent the exact same amount of time there and took photographs, you know, and adding on that her own sort of emotions of her lost country and what was there now. And then this was the exhibition. It was called You, the Lost Country.
Mm-hmm.
And it started in Belfast and then it came down to the RHA. So what I did was I made a documentary about this. Where,
when you say document, do you mean film or radio?
Well, it's a new genre, Victoria. Because it's a photo documentary.
Okay.
So it was, I made it as a radio documentary, but with the images in mind, right? Because they're photographs.
Yeah.
So that you can watch the photos at the same time as listening.
And who narrates it?
Well, I'm you the narrator.
Okay.
But we have several voices in there. So we have the voice of Rebecca West and Alwyn Fowere. The amazing Alwyn Fowere is the voice of Rebecca West. And we have got some archive footage from the assassination of Archduke
Ferdinand.
Yes. Which, it's amazing. You see him dying on screen. Wow. You know? Yeah, and Rebecca West wrote about this. And when she saw this, she went, that's what brought her to Yugoslavia. Because, as we know, World War One started.
Because of that.
Mm-hmm. Started in Yugoslavia. And so when she saw this assassination, she got worried about the future of the planet. And she goes, I have to go. And know why I'm going to die and why all of, you know, my son, my lover, they're all going to die because of this incident in Yugoslavia. And we don't understand it. So I have to go and figure it out and write about it. So this is threaded throughout the documentary.
Yeah.
As well as other voices like Zlata Filipovic, who has also been here. She's from Sarajevo. She's been here nearly 20 years now. And she wrote a very, very famous book, which is compared with Anne Frank's diary, called Zlata's Diary of Wartime Sarajevo. So she's also in the documentary. And the commentator, Colin Graham, who you know, writes about photography and is a photographic critic, I suppose he contributes as well about the exhibition. So it brings you on this... very personal journey, which obviously has a lot bigger implications. Mm-hmm. And we premiered it. We were invited to premiere it at the Belgrade Irish Festival in Belgrade this year. And one of the comments that I heard the next day was somebody said to me after seeing the documentary, they said, like, it's amazing. It's amazing how in this documentary, which is about the war, about former Yugoslavia, they said that you don't offend anybody.
Really?
And this was somebody who really knows what they're talking about,
gosh.
You know. And because it's such a, it's a personal account.
Yeah.
You know, it's a personal journey.
That would be hard not to offend somebody because everyone has their own point of view, don't they?
Yeah. So anyway, I was delighted to hear that. You can imagine when we were in Belgrade.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this will be on in the Origin Gallery. So please, everybody, come down.
Yes.
Yeah. Fitzwilliam
Street.
Sorry,
Fitzwilliam Street. And it's, did you say the 14th of July?
14th to the 17th of July.
So does it run the whole time? Runs continuously?
It'll run in the afternoon. There'll be three screenings. It's an hour long.
Okay.
So they'll be screening it. I think it's 1, 2.30 and 4 p.m.
And
so,
just before we finish up, what's next for you? What other amazing stuff are you getting up to?
Wow. Well, I mean, I've so many projects that are bubbling up. I mean,
you're starting a publishing company.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, the Grand Canal Publishing. Yes.
Yes.
I'm starting that. I've just converted my book on Pina Bausch, that's German dance theater. That was my PhD. I just converted it to be an ebook.
Uh-huh.
And so that is the birth of Grand Canal Publishing. And we hope we'll be doing a lot more interesting, arty online books with
so
that.
You're going to concentrate on the online books?
I think so, for starters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, it seems wiser to have less overheads, you know, and that's the way it's all going. I think that the habits are changing, that people are going to be reading on ebook readers and, you know, as opposed, although I love books.
I love books.
I love that.
I'm
big,
not giving
heavy
up books.
Rebecca
I'm sorry.
West
I don't
book.
Care if they
yeah.
read. I just
yeah.
love them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And another character that really interests me, and I really would love to get funding to do a project is Lucia Joyce.
Of course.
James Joyce's daughter.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Did you know that she was a cutting edge modern dancer in 1920s Paris? And she was in Raymond Duncan's dance company. Raymond Duncan is Isadora Duncan's brother.
Yeah, I did know that. I was interested. When you were talking about dance, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think, you know, people dismiss Lucia and they say, oh, she was mad.
I know.
I mean, she was mad. No, really. She was an artist. Hello. She was an artist and a female and an artist of the body. So,
yourself. Well, that's all we got time for. But it was fascinating. And I'm sure people are really like pretty thrilled to have heard all that stuff.
Oh,
particularly about
for
Yeats
me
and
on.
The body. And I'll be back at the same time next week with another amazing person on the Art of Living Radio Show.